Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I have a special surprise this morning. I'm not joined by Phil. I'm joined by our Wednesday morning show host, Susie Prez.
Good morning, Julie. It's really fun to be here, and I'm on the other side of the board, the broadcast board.
A special treat for you,
yeah.
Susie.
So thanks for having me. It's really fun to be here.
I think so. Anyway, life is good, and it's even better because we have some nice weather coming. I'll start with weather, and then we will talk about the Sandpoint Minute. First of all, weather, though, I'm looking at the national weather forecast, and all I'm seeing are sun and puffy clouds, Susie. Beautiful. Highs in the middle 50s and low 60s, and lows, well, tonight a low of 31, but for the rest of the week, lows above freezing. So might be a happy week for the gardeners who have been planting things.
Have you been planting things, Julie?
I've been trying to plant things, but I've mostly been pulling weeds and tilling. How about you, Susie?
I haven't gotten to the planting yet. There's things coming up that I am always surprised they just show up in the garden, so that's always fun to look around. But getting ready to plant, getting pretty close.
Yes, that's where I'm at too. Well, it is kind of a nice week all week. I don't really see rain in the forecast, slight chances. So everybody should be getting out and thinking about, I don't know, gardening, hiking, yard cleanup. And so a good week in Sandpoint. Spring is here. Susie, you'd like to take a minute and give us our...
Okay, well, we have every Wednesday, we have a segment on the Wednesday morning show called the Sandpoint City Minute. And the city administrator, Jennifer Stapleton, sends me information. Well, last week she sent me this information that's relevant to this week. So I'll read it today. This is your Sandpoint City Minute. The city has retained the services of GreenPlay, a national parks, recreation, and open space consulting firm to assist with the development of a new Parks and Recreation Master Plan. The city and GreenPlay will host an open public forum this Thursday, May 2nd, at the Hive, which is located at 207 North 1st Avenue. It starts at 6 to 7:30, and they really want the city's the community's input on our parks and recreation activities, the layout, the plan, things like that. We have beautiful parks, and this is an opportunity to look forward to see what we want to continue to do to develop the parks. So that's your City Minute.
What a great opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah.
So again, that's this Thursday, May 2nd, 6 to 7:30 at the Hive, located 207 North 1st Avenue.
All right. Not to be missed. Well, I think it's time to introduce our guests. And we've got two sets of guests this morning. So it's going to be a crowd of ladies' voices this morning, Susie. Six of us are here in the studio. We'll do our best to make it clear who we are. We are joined this morning by two folks from two members of Leadership Sandpoint Class of 2018 to 2020, and those gals are Kristen Carlson and Chelsea Cummings. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Oh, happy to have you. And with them, we are joined by two gals from Bonner Homeless Transition, and they are Mary Jo Ambrosiani. Mary Jo.
Good morning.
Morning. Yes, happy to have you. And Joanne Barlow.
Good morning, everyone.
All right. So let's begin with a bit of personal background about each of you. So let's go ahead and start with Leadership Sandpoint, and that would be you, Kristen.
Hi, good morning. My name is Kristen. Like you said, I am the communications specialist at the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, which is where Leadership Sandpoint all began. So I'm here, representing the chamber, but also as a student of Leadership Sandpoint this year.
Great. And how about Chelsea?
Hi there. I've lived in Sandpoint for about 5 years, and I'm the general manager of Trinity at City Beach. Trinity has always been very involved in Leadership Sandpoint, so I'm very happy to take the opportunity to start giving back to the community that I'm starting to call home.
Very nice. And then Joanne, we'll just keep you all in order this morning. That way okay. Susie and I will have it straight.
Okay, good morning. I'm Joanne, and I am the program manager for Bonner Homeless Transitions. So, and that's Blue Haven in the town of Sandpoint. And I've been in social service and in Sandpoint off and on for the past, it's been 40 years.
Wow.
So, and it's great to be here and to be the recipient of the Leadership Sandpoint. We're very excited.
Yes, we're coming to that shortly. And Mary Jo.
Good morning. This is Mary Jo Ambrosiani, and I'm the current president of Bonner Homeless Transitions. My husband and I moved here in 1987, and I became involved with Bonner Homeless Transitions in 2006. And we just really believe that the program is a very positive one, helping women on their path to self-sufficiency.
Very good. Well, I'd like for one of you to tell us briefly about the event coming up. It's really why we're here today. We're going to go into it in greater detail after the song break, but let's just have a brief description, the time, the when, etc. Chelsea.
All right, so the event is this Sunday at Trinity at City Beach. It starts at 4 p.m. and it ends around 8:30, and it'll be a lot of fun. The weather's looking pretty good, so, and it's fun for all ages, so everyone should come.
Okay, and it's called the Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, it's our Cinco de Mayo bash, and all of the proceeds go to Bonner County Homeless Transitions.
Very good, very good. Well, let's turn back to Leadership Sandpoint, and Kristen, could you tell us about the program? What's it all about?
Sure. The purpose of Leadership Sandpoint is to identify existing and emerging leaders in our community and increase their knowledge of the greater Sandpoint area and educate them on the needs of the community. So the idea is it's a two-year program. The first year you are in the program as a student, and we meet once a month and go through different areas of the community, you know, different topics such as sustainability, economic drivers, healthcare, you know, different areas of the community. And the hope with the program is that each of us as students will find an area of need that we are passionate about. And the program also incorporates nonprofit board training. Again, in the hopes that we will find some need or some organization that we're passionate about that we want to continue to either be a leader in or assist in some way.
That sounds like a leadership program where you find your way into your community. So, Kristen, what did you find? What are you finding? You're kind of in the middle of your two-year program.
I am. And, you know, I started working at the chamber. And so I was kind of told, you're going to do this program. So, which was very exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time. But I have found, I've been here 4 years, and there's things about the community that I never would have known about. And I certainly, there's many nonprofit organizations in our town, and I have heard from many of them that I didn't sadly realize how much need there is in our community. So I've loved, you know, working with my classmates who come from all different businesses around town and what we all can kind of achieve together. I'm finding I have many, many passions, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, how am I going to pick, you know, where what I'm going to give back to in the future? So just kind of learning, you know, about this community and what the needs are and how I can help in the future once my kids get a little bit older.
Well, right. It's a busy time for you. You've got a big job, and then this adds to it, but it must help you think about ways you can give back at some point.
It does. It does. And I'm very grateful that I, you know, I work for a company that I can go and spend time, you know, learning about my community and learning, you know, we're very encouraged to be a part of nonprofit organizations and volunteer and give back. So I'm very grateful for that as well.
I'd like to understand a little bit more about Leadership Sandpoint. I know you're all working on leadership, and you must all select an area of interest to you. How do you all come together to even make the award that you made? How does that work?
I'm not going to lie. It was a very heart-wrenching and grueling process. We selected 10 organizations to come present to us in December. So it was a full day of, you know, hearing what the organization was about, what the needs are, and what specifically they needed funds for. So, you know, you're looking at homelessness, poverty, you know, animal shelter, like all so many different areas that we all were very passionate about. So after the presentations, it took about 2 weeks for us to kind of narrow down, you know, where we wanted to help. But we felt like Bonner Homeless Transitions had a very clear and concise need. You know, they have this home, it needs a new roof. We knew how much it was going to cost, and we felt like not only are they helping people in our community, but they continue to help these people once they're out of the homes and once they're out on their own. There's a process of continuing to help these people for years to come is what it sounds like. So we felt like we can really, you know, help these people right now in their situation and know that they're going to get help in the long term as well. And it was important to us to pick a fundraiser that we knew we could raise the funds for and see the outcome. So
yes, really see a positive outcome.
Yes.
Well, I can see that's an obvious way that Leadership Sandpoint is helping the community with a direct project each year, but there must be other ways that you see yourselves helping the community. Are there some other ways you see yourselves as helping?
Well, in addition to Bonner Homeless Transitions, we did a smaller fundraiser earlier in the year because, again, we couldn't pick just one organization to help. So we did the first ever Leadership Sandpoint alumni event because we are guesstimating there's about 400 graduates of this program. It started in 1993 and about 15 to 20 students every year. So there's a lot of us out there. So we had our first ever annual alumni event at the 219, and we the proceeds from that event went to NAMI Far North. Again, another amazing organization that, you know, spreads awareness about mental illness and really helps, which there's, you know, there's a good bit of that in our community as well. And we all felt very passionate about that. So we wanted to help them. They just had a small goal of just some marketing expenses that they needed. So we were able to raise funds to give them, you know, cover their marketing expenses for over a year. So we helped them. And then we also have the trail day coming up that we couldn't fundraise for to raise funds for. But we figure we'll go out and we'll do a trail day. And that's how we can give back with our time and our energy. So again, there's lots of areas that we want to help in. And then as we graduate from the program, we hope we will all spread out into the community and be able to help even more organizations.
Well, that's where I was headed with my next question, because you mentioned that you've been producing 15-ish graduates since the 1990s, all with improved leadership schools. And it's grassroots. It's folks that are coming from this community and wanting to be better leaders. That, to me, sounds like
it's amazing. And you figure you're not, you know, you're helping your community, but you're also, you know, improving your individual leadership skills, and you're bringing that into your business, and then you're bringing it into the community. So it really is benefiting everyone involved.
It sounds like the perfect avenue or thing that people can do when they first come to town, find their way into this amazing community that is constantly giving. We have so many nonprofits, and this is a really fun way to find out about all those nonprofits and the education and things like that in our community.
Right. And there are several people in our class, and every year there's people in the class that are born and raised here and take something from the program every year. They, you know, find things that they didn't even know existed, or, you know, going out to the Laclede Timber Mill, you know, experiences like that that you would never get if you weren't in the program. And then nonprofits that they didn't know about. So it is for people that have lived here their whole lives as well.
I wonder if this is something that happens in a lot of small towns like Sandpoint, Idaho, or if this is something that was developed. I remember way back in 1993 when it first started, this group of Sandpoint, Leadership Sandpoint, people would come around to different organizations, schools, and really find out about our community. I'm wondering, Chelsea Cummings, how has it been for you? What have you found out? And have you found something special that you want to focus on?
Well, like Kristen said, there are so many different options that I've learned from this program, and so many different local nonprofits that need help. It's kind of difficult at this point to narrow it down, but I really like the idea of working with kids and youth and teenagers and development. So That's what I'm thinking about. It's been a great experience. I kind of signed up at the last minute, so I wasn't exactly sure what to expect, but it's been really great. Justin has been my mentor through this process at Trinity, and I feel like it's really helping my build my leadership skills, even in my work, too. I've noticed a difference in the way that I do my job after being in this program.
That's a great comment. One thing that I'd like you to talk just a bit about, and you've briefly touched on it, but Leadership Sandpoint is a combination of nonprofits and for-profit organizations, so you come from very different backgrounds, folks with different goals and et cetera. And have you found that that's been a fertile ground for learning about your community, Chelsea or Kirsten?
That is true. There's several of us that work for nonprofits with, you know, bare bones budgets and small salaries. And then there's a lot of us that work for profit. So it is it's an interesting dynamic, but it's a lot of fun because, you know, the people in our class that do work for a for profit that have no nonprofit experience, their eyes are just wide open. And then, you know, from a fundraising aspect, you get to say, hey, so-and-so, go to your big company and, you know, get us some money. Come on, we need some help for this fundraiser. So it's a lot of fun just kind of mixing those two worlds together and really getting a good view of how the other side operates and what they're getting out of the program.
All right. Well, let's turn to for just a moment, or maybe for the rest of the program, let's talk about what happened again and how Homeless Transitions came to be involved with you. I'd like to talk with the Homeless Transitions folks and hear how you heard about Leadership Sandpoint, how you got involved in this. And that looks like Joanne.
Great. Well, I know that in December we lost our program manager, Tammy Martinson, who was a staple in this community. And she was scheduled to talk with Leadership Sandpoint. So we got a call from, I forget who it
probably
was.
Probably
Kari. Kari,
okay. President.
Mm-hmm. That we were speaking. We had no idea. Tammy was supposed to be speaking. So I called Judy Rayner, our bookkeeper, and said, we have to speak at Leadership Sandpoint. So basically, we planned nothing. And we just went in and told our story and what our needs were and didn't know how it went or if anybody heard. But I do have to say one thing. We had, I think there were three different individuals that are part of Leadership Sandpoint that showed up on our doorstep like 3 weeks later with donations, individual donations. Some came in with food, some came in with money. One came in with brand new socks, a whole big bag. So obviously, they made an impact, or we did, which we didn't even realize that we did, because they had not heard of us. They didn't know, even though we've been here since 94, they didn't even realize that we had a transitional center in the community. So that's how we heard about it. And now I've been just working with them as far as this fundraiser, and we're so excited that we were chosen for the fundraiser. So,
and Mary Jo, you're the board chair, and you've been involved in Bonner Homeless Transition for a while. What is your involvement, and why are you involved?
My involvement, excuse me, is as a board president to make sure that the organization flows smoothly and according to our mission and our vision, which basically is to help single women and single women with children and families to become self-sufficient, productive members of any community that they're a member of. And my husband and I became involved in it a while back when we had the domestic violence shelter here. And I just saw that there was such a need to help this particular segment of our community that we couldn't let it just fall by the wayside. And so we really got involved. And since then, I've just had you know, a desire to help these women, because I know with the programs that we offer and the families and women and children that we have in our program, they want to help themselves as well. So it's a win-win situation for everybody.
So it's not just housing, it's the transition to the next step that really makes the difference.
Exactly. We are very involved in case management and meet with every client weekly. So we're involved in, a lot of them come with different issues. So we're involved in employment or enhancing their employment, seeking records. A lot of them come and their children do not have birth certificates. They may not have birth certificates. They may not have a driver's license. Whatever it is that's been stopping them from receiving permanent housing. They may have backgrounds that need addressed, budgeting issues, whatever it is that we can enhance transitioning on to permanent housing and permanent employment.
And the need is great here. Is it greater in North Idaho than other areas?
It is great here. In Bonner and Boundary County, which we do cover Boundary County also, they're all called the hidden homeless in this town because you don't see them on the streets as you do in the larger cities. But people don't realize, and we've never done a complete study to know how many we have. But if you go through my applications that I receive weekly and the phone calls I receive weekly, you would be shocked. Many, many families, many homeless children. And we can only serve up to 10 families. Right now, I think I have 13 to 15 children and 11 adults, and we're full. And so,
one of the things I remember when the Big Blue House was moved to its current site, that
right.
was quite an event for our city. And is that when it kind of started? And what are the facilities like? What do you have now besides the Big Blue House? What is that house? You can only have 10, you say.
Right. There's actually, that house is 8, and that includes families. And then upstairs we have what's called the communal area for single women without children. So we have four rooms, and then they share a kitchen and the washing facilities and the bathrooms and that type of thing. The other facilities are apartments. Some are 2-bedroom, some are 1-bedroom, some are studios. Then next door, we have the annex house that we obtained, which that's where we need the roof because it will not last another winter. And that is, we house, it's a 3-bedroom apartment on the lower level and a 2-bedroom apartment above. So that's for larger families. So it's very important to us. If we lost that, we'd lose the amount that we can shelter. So we have those two facilities. We also have a lot next door. But if anyone in the community is willing and would like to contribute, we'd love to build housing next door, especially for single men and single women. I get a lot of calls for that. So
you could have a tiny house community there.
That would be wonderful.
There you go.
Wonderful, yeah.
Well, it sounds like the impact has been significant on the community. Do you have anything you'd like to add about community impact?
Well, it's just that normally homeless clients don't contribute much to a community, but our mission is to transition them onto permanent housing and employment so they will contribute with their purchase power. They'll be buying groceries, they'll be paying rent, they'll be paying for electricity, and then become prideful in their community. And it's a win-win.
Yeah, that allows for folks that haven't
right.
been able to participate in their community.
They'll open bank accounts.
Yeah.
They'll just become successful residents of Bonner County.
And the other part of that is our community continues to become a supportive, caring community. So it's
yes.
it's a good thing.
Yes.
Yes. Well, on that kind of happy, upbeat note, I think we'll take a song break and come back and talk more about the upcoming Cinco de Mayo event.
What do you have queued in, Julie?
I have a good one, Susie. We all love Towns Van Zandt, I think, and this song will be appropriate. Where I Lead Me. Hey. And as they often do, that song ended a little early, Susie. That was Townes Van Zandt with Where I Lead Me.
And that's right. We're here in the studios today, April 30th, of the studios of 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. And we're here with Chelsea Cummings and Kristen Carlson. They're both in the class called Leadership Sandpoint Class. They're both members of that class. That's the 2018 to 2020 class. And we're also here with Mary Jo Ambrosiani.
She's it's a mouthful.
Board President of Bonner Homeless Transition, and Joanne Barlow, Program Manager of Bonner Homeless Transition. And we're here for some really great reasons. We're really happy to have you here today, hearing all about your program with the homeless and the shelter, and then Sandpoint Leadership, and a special event that's coming up.
That's right. But before we go on to the event details, Susie, you had one more follow-up question.
I do. I'm wondering, we're hearing about the Bonner Homeless Transition. How can and does our community help support the important work that you're doing? And what do you need?
Okay, well, I'll start with what we need first, and that is just awareness. For the community to be aware of who we are and where we are and what we do. I know that there, even when we spoke at Leadership Sandpoint, and I did have many, like I said, that came in, they didn't know about us. They didn't know. And to be honest, I've lived here for many, many years and used to live in that South Sandpoint neighborhood, and I didn't know what it was. So to become aware that we do have a need for housing for the homeless, and the homeless aren't what people perceive. It is somebody that's maybe one check away from being homeless, or it's just to become aware that in our community, what assistance can do and how it can help our community with transitioning the homeless on. So that's number one, the need. And I actually forgot your first question.
Well, how can the community support, besides becoming aware? Once you're aware of something, you right. do start participating in support.
But... So many ways. Number one, money. Money's always good. They'll learn how to donate money if they attend the Cinco de Mayo function, because we'll have a table there with all of our information. But they can call, they can write, just becoming aware of who we are. They can look at our website, which is BonnerHomelessTransitions.org, and find out about us. So money.
Money is important. Mm-hmm. How about like clothing,
yes.
those sort of things?
We get donations daily, weekly, of
Good.
Clothing, of furniture. We furnish the apartments for when people come in. A lot of them come with nothing. So if they have some things, they put it in storage or whatever. They have furnished apartments. When they leave and they need things, they can take them. It may be beds and dressers or couches, whatever they need to set up a home. So food, canned goods, snacks for the children after school. We get donations of everything and anything. You know, it's they can donate that way. Also, volunteers. Now, it's best if they go through. There's a new program in town for volunteers, and I actually forget the name.
It's through the Sandpoint Community Resource Center.
Thank you.
Volunteer Match, I believe, is what it's called.
Right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. They can sign up there and be assigned and just say that they want to work with homeless and that type of thing. And then they'll contact us. And we do have volunteers that come in and sort the clothing. We may get 25 bags in a day. And so
let's put a little cursor on that.
Yes.
You want clean, dry clothing.
That would be wonderful if we had clean, dry clothing. Yes. Thank you. And bedding. We've gone to twin beds, so twin bedding. It's just a gamut of anything that you would need for a household, pots and pans, anything, dishes, whatever.
And it's really helping people in
yes.
great need.
Yes.
Very good. Well, let's refocus on the upcoming event, and it is the Cinco de Mayo event. Chelsea or Kristen, would you like to summarize the details, where and when, and what people should plan for.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Cinco de Mayo fundraiser is this Sunday, May 5th, at Trinity at City Beach. We've got a taco and margarita bar outside, and the weather's looking good, so that'll be a lot of fun. That is donated by Justin Dick, and to get a taco or margarita, all you have to do is donate, and all those proceeds will go to Bonner County Homeless Transitions. The restaurant will also have a menu, so if you don't want to go outside and do that, you can go and eat at the restaurant and then still participate in the raffle and the silent auction. And we've got various other activities for kids. We'll have music as well. In the past, we've had up to about, I think, 350 people popping in and out all day. So in like the main, you know, 4 to 7 hour. Our big raffle items this year include a wheelbarrow full of booze.
Oh, boy.
That's always a big hit. A 10-day condo stay in Hawaii and a 2019-2020 Schweitzer season pass. And our silent auction items, we've got various things like concert tickets, festival passes, some outdoor recreational activities. So, and all the money is donated to Bonner County Homeless Transitions, so we really want everyone to come out and enjoy the day. It's always a great hit. I've actually been as an employee at Trinity I've been at the Cinco de Mayo event for 5 years, so this will be my fifth one, so this will be a lot of fun to actually be a part of the leadership this year. So
that's really great. Susie, I must tell you, that's how Phil convinced me to buy raffle tickets when I heard about the Hawaiian trip and the season pass at Schweitzer.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the wheelbarrow thing.
I'm not going to claim that it was that. No.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And is there going to be music? No. No, that's okay. We can imagine Cinco de Mayo type music.
There will be music, yeah. Well, there's music inside and outside, so fun for everybody.
Sure.
Wherever you are.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Here we go into spring. And do something fun for the community.
That's right.
I just wanted to, can I just take a moment? And we had some really generous sponsors this year. Again, a great thing about leadership is this network of people that you get to know and you can ask for things. So we had some generous donations from Ting, Bonner General Health, and Chris and Kathy Chambers made a very generous donation, in addition to Schweitzer, obviously, with the season pass. Encoder donated the condo in Hawaii, the 10-day stay in the condo in Hawaii. The Bonner County Daily Bee, the Reader, helped us with advertising and marketing. And then so many silent auction items. Quest donated a scenic flight for six as one of our silent auction items. Selkirk Powder Guides donated 2 seats on a snowcat trip for next winter. We have a Mother's Day gift basket from Refined Aesthetics Med Spa. We have a Guys Night In basket from Welcome Home Gift Baskets. The list goes on and on. A pontoon ride from Action Water Sports. KPND donated tickets. So many things. I don't want to forget anybody, but we're very grateful. And again, great thing about leadership and just this community in general is the willingness to give is pretty overwhelming.
So what I'm hearing is that in addition to the raffle tickets, you really do want to show up and have an opportunity to bid on the silent auction.
You
items.
Really do. There's some really great things. And for those guys that are waiting to do Mother's Day, there's some great Mother's Day items. Just saying. That's, and Father's Day.
There you go. If someone wanted to get some of those great raffle tickets, where would they go?
They can go to any class member, should be carrying around some raffle tickets. You can buy raffle tickets at the event, and then you can always stop by the Chamber/Visitor Center out on Fifth Avenue to purchase raffle tickets as well. They're $5 each or 5 raffle tickets for $20.
Very good. Well, I think we have a bit more time that will allow us to talk more about Leadership Sandpoint. And we've covered some of the benefits of participating, but going through 2 years, the first year as a student and then the second year as a leader, helping your new students learn, what are some additional just topics or what are some of the other things that you get into in those in your 2 years?
Sure. So in the second year, you become a facilitator. So each facilitator, there's usually three or four of you that take a topic every month and kind of decide if you want to keep the class the same or do something a little bit different with it. And the topics are everything from, obviously, nonprofit board training is a portion of every class, and that's led by either Kate McAllister or Jim Zuberbühler, who kind of created this curriculum about 5 years ago and incorporated it into the Leadership Sandpoint program. So there's that portion of it every month. And then, for example, one of the first classes is arts and culture. So we do, you know, a guided tour of the history museum and the walking tour of the historical buildings and homes in downtown. And then, you know, meet with the folks at the Panada and the Music Conservatory Festival at Sandpoint and really just get a grasp on the arts and culture scene, which is a huge part of this town, even more so than I even realized. So that, and that was all in one day. I mentioned the sustainability day where we visited the Laclede Timber Mill to really see that whole process, which is just mind-blowing. I mean, just an amazing operation out there. So that was really great. There's economic drivers, healthcare. What am I missing? Team building. We did an amazing team building day with Dennis and Webb from Seoul. One of our first classes when you're kind of awkward and still learning, you know, who everybody is. And then you're forced to, like, do trust falls and games like that. So just in every month, it's a new topic. And the goal is just to get us immersed in our community and educated on everything that it has to offer.
You've, Kristen and Chelsea, you told Susie and me a bit about how you became involved. Chelsea sort of at the last minute. And Kristen, it sounds like you were more or less assigned Leadership Sandpoint. But what are some of the other reasons people consider of your current class? What has driven others to become part of Leadership Sandpoint?
I think probably similar reasons, but I think, you know, some of us, you do have to be nominated to be in the class. So a lot of people are nominated by their businesses to, you know, not force you into leadership, but just kind of hone in those skills of becoming a leader and, you know, maybe lead to more leadership roles in their business. Some are new to the area and really just want to learn about the community and really, you know, become that local that we're all striving to be that you're not allowed to be until you've been here 20 years. And, you know, a lot of people are already involved in nonprofit organizations and just want to kind of see what else is out there. Am I missing anything?
Well, as someone who's not from Sandpoint, I would say a lot of the benefits from being in the program do include becoming a more informed citizen of Sandpoint. And the program really pushes for us to go out and be active because sometimes you just don't know what's out there or you don't know where to start. So in my case, that was exactly what it was. So it's been great to be able to learn so much about the community and who needs help. Our local bosses, facilitators of the program, and local businesses work together to navigate a path to introduce us to different community organizations. So that was a really big draw in the program for me, and it's been pretty beneficial.
That's great to hear. Well, as we begin to wrap up, I'd like to hear once more from our folks from Bonner Homeless Transition with a summary from Joanne.
Great. First off, I just want to say we are so appreciative of being selected and so excited about the fundraiser. I know that a lot of people assume that we receive funding from the state or the federal government. At one point, we did receive funds from the federal government through HUD. HUD then decided to stop all funding for transitional services in the United States and went to a program called Housing First. Our community does not allow us to, when someone comes in and they're homeless, to put them in homes. We don't have them. And if we do have them, they're too expensive. So we are just surviving on fundraisers and local donors and generous businesses. And so for someone, this fundraiser is just wonderful because we would not be able to afford a roof. And that's why it was so exciting to receive this. And I just want to thank them very much. And I'm so excited. I will be there Sunday. And I hope that everybody else joins us and to find out about us. And if not, just to have a margarita and win a prize. Okay.
All right. And just one, if you would, one last time, the event details, when and where.
Okay, so once again, it's this Sunday, May 5th at Trinity at City Beach. It's going to be outside on the lawn, but the restaurant will be open for those that don't want to be outside, but you can still pop out and participate in the raffle and the silent auction.
All right, so whether you just want to win a trip or you'd like to help out the homeless, it's a great event. Try and get there.
Well, for a great organization, and we've got to get that roof on that new brown house because that's going to house a whole bunch more folks that need
sure
that
is.
And can make the transition to something else.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you this morning, Kristen Carlson and Chelsea Cummings from Leadership Sandpoint and Mary Jo Ambrosiani and Joanne Barlow from Bonner Homeless Transition. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.